Greetings from Tromerville. I'm Lloyd Kaufman, president of Troma Entertainment and creator of The Toxic Avenger. You know, folks, when the Troma team and I are not making those amazing movies like Tromeo and Juliet, Terra Firma, and the latest Return to Nukemai, a.k.a. Volume 2, we like to sit back and enjoy the Macnez podcast, because the Macnez podcast, it's the most educational, entertaining, and really delightful podcast on the face of the earth. Thank you, and Lloyd Kaufman signing off.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show, Macnez Podcast, episode 100. Didn't think I'd ever get here. I should have been at this way past this episode if I would have just been constantly doing this, but I have been constantly podcasting. Those of you know that listen to all the million other shows that I do, Big Guys, E Society, the most, as well as the stuff on the Anchor app and whatever else I do with this network. Excuse me, everyone. Sorry. It's early morning, everyone. But a show that I have been on, I don't know how many times, too many times to count. My other brother in crime, we got Lance from The Horror Returns, man. He's here with me today. What's up, brother?
Hey, man, just happy to be on here at last, man. At least one of us is finally getting our Frightmare wrap-up done.
Yeah, man. We'll eventually get to your guys'. It's been a while. I know Frightmare was last month, and it's we're already in June right now. I got a bunch of other people on the show, some interviews with other friends that were also there at Texas Frightmare. That's what we're going to talk about mainly right now for the 100th episode is our adventure at Texas Frightmare. It was back early May. Where was that, Dallas or is it Fort Worth? Which is it?
Yeah, it's always right at DFW Airport. I hope they don't move it. I kind of hope they do because they've sort of outgrown the venue, but it's so convenient, man. It's I don't know, DFW Airport. I think it's like kind of like right in the middle, right between the two cities, somewhere out there. I don't know Dallas too well, man. Texas is a big state.
Yeah, it is. I've only been to a few cities, and Dallas is kind of one of the main ones. And I get lost. I have no idea. But speaking of getting lost, man, trying to get into the airport to where the hotel is, where the convention's going on, is just madness. I remember the first year I went, I had a car and I drove around and around and around until I finally got in. This year was a little easier. I had a friend who dropped me off, but it was good, man. It was good to see you guys again and hang out, as well as Patrick, the hater of Star Wars, or not Star Wars, The Last Jedi, I would say. But Patrick will also be on the show later on. But overall, man, for your second year at Texas Frightmare, man, what did you think of it?
I would say, yeah, because it's the second year that you and I've been together. Dude, it's like, was it just me, or were there like twice as many people participating as there were last year? I don't mean the celebrities, but like just regular event goers. Didn't it seem to like it was double the size this year?
Yeah, there was like way more people in there. Because I remember the first night last year on Friday, there wasn't that many people there because we could just walk around and there was no problem. Or even like to get our press passes, it took me forever. I knew I should have got it earlier, but I just kind of just went to the room to hang out. And then I stood in, I think that was probably the longest line that I stood in. I was at least 45 minutes before I even got close to the desk to pick up my badge. And then I was like, man, it was just so packed. And then once we got that going in, and it was just like just shoulder to shoulder walking around in there. I mean, it's getting so big now. I'm just like, oh, man. But it's still good, though, man. I have a good time.
Yeah, it's definitely a good time, man. What did you think about the guest list this year versus last year?
It was cool. I know it was just how they set it up this year was different than last year. But I think that I want to say there was more guests. Because I remember in I think I would say the main room where pretty much all the guests are, they had that set up again. But then in the other room, I remember last year there was like only one side of guests and there was more vendors. If you walk into that second room off to the left, there was just more vendors. This year, left and right side, they had a ton more guests, and it was mainly all the guys that were Jason in the Friday the 13th film, so that was awesome. But it's just
right.
I think it's this con is getting too big. I think they need to find somewhere else to do it because it was just too many people. But I love that it's there because we stayed in the hotel this year. And it was so much easier. But
that was nice.
The only problem was is you're kind of stuck there. There's nothing really round.
Okay.
But I mean, other than that, man, I still had a blast, man. It was still fun to other than to see you guys and hang out again. But then we also got to hang out with Ricky and Danny from the Hail Ming Power Hour. That was pretty cool. You'll also hear those guys on here later on, but. Oh man, it was just so cool, man. There was pretty much a lot of the same vendors there, which was awesome because I just bought some more stuff from them. I didn't find anything that I really wanted, but I found some new stuff. I think the main thing that I always look for is movies, and there was a ton of guys selling Blu-rays and DVDs, so. That was cool. I picked up some stuff from Arrow as well as Full Moon Features, and I can't remember the name of the other company. But I mean, it's always good to go there and for this horror con and just pick up a bunch of horror movies. So I thought that was cool. Did you pick up anything while you were down there?
I'll tell you what. This is the irony of the whole thing, dude. And I will say this about Frightmare, dude. They've got lots of chances to separate you from your money. There's no doubt about that. But this is what's funny, man. You know AJ. You know my wife. She's not even remotely into horror movies. But she still found a way to spend about $400 on assorted shit. She picks stuff up for everybody, man. But, I mean, there was, like, a lot of graphic young adult graphic novels that she got for our granddaughter. And lots of the Becca over at the big podcast, you know, the one I'm talking about, the one that, okay, I can't think of the name of it, man. Shockwaves.
Oh, okay.
The Shockwaves podcast. Yeah. Becca, she, her mom makes these bags and then I think she's starting to make some too, but my wife always picks a couple of those up every year for people, like horror related, kind of like, purses and little wallets and stuff like that. So, shit, man, dude, she had a field day buying stuff, and she's not even into horror. And then Patrick bought us those kick-ass beer glasses that we almost left behind at the restaurant that we ate at. You remember that?
I would have left mine, but it was like after I had my drink, I just kind of wiped it out and wrapped it up and just put it, like, right next to my phone. So I knew I wasn't going to forget it.
Smart man.
I kind of had a feeling someone was going to.
Right?
Because, I don't know, I guess that was the first night when we were there. You guys,
I think it was, yeah.
You guys didn't make it to any screenings, right?
No, I didn't. I didn't go to a single screening. I don't think I did last year either, man. We were just kind of focusing on the guests and stuff like that. And then you remember what happened to me the first night, dude. Patrick gave me that cookie to eat, and I wasn't used to that, dude. I was out like a light, man. I think after we ate and almost left our glasses at the restaurant, I fell asleep like right after that, man.
Because after we left after dinner, Patrick and I went downstairs. And we went to one of the first panels, and it was the Jason panel. It was all the guys that were Jason in the Friday the 13th films, minus a couple, one of them that had passed away. Mm-hmm. And the very first Jason kid, the one who played Jason and popped out of the water in the first Friday the 13th, he wasn't there. But from part 2, 4, 5... 6, and then Kane Hodder that did all the rest of them. There wasn't
right.
The new guy wasn't there. The guy that was in the reboot one, he wasn't there.
The remake.
Yeah, he wasn't there. But the guy that was for Freddy versus Jason, he was there. So, but it was cool, man. Just listening to the stories of all these guys having what they did. In each of these films, and the earlier Jasons, Steve Dash and Ted White, they were like unsure of what kind of movie they were doing and had no idea that it was gonna be what Friday the 13th is today. For some of you younger listeners, I mean, it's kind of like it's there for you guys, but back in the day for us old grandpas, We didn't know it was going to be such a big phenomenon. Yeah, the movies got a little cheesy as it went along, but it was still awesome. Plus, to hear the stories from all of these guys, I just thought it was amazing. And Patrick and I, man, we had a really good time sitting there listening to each and every one of their stories. But the guy that stole the show out of the Jasons was Steve Dash. Man, that guy is a character. He's just... straight New York accent. I think he's from New York, York, Philly, one of them. Mm-hmm. But his tough accent, he just sounded like one of those wise guys from Goodfellas. And man, his stories were hilarious. Sure. He's gonna be at this convention that I'm going to in a couple weeks, Sinister Creature Con. I hope to get a few words from him for the show, because man, that guy was awesome. But once that panel was over, I think there was another one after. I can't remember. No. There was screenings after that, because Patrick, he had left. He was also tired, so he went back up to the room. It was mm-hmm. it was kind of a long day before the actual con started, because I was pretty tired, but I wanted to do as much as I could. And after that panel, I know that the screening started. It was some... Boomin Features movie. I don't know. Evil Bong something, whatever those were.
Evil Bong 28, huh?
Yeah, one of them. So I went and walked around for a while and then hung out. And then I came back later when the I think this is probably the main screening that I wanted to see. If you guys listen to East Society, I kind of went over it a little bit. This was a movie called Death Kiss. I remember seeing the trailer for it a while back, and what made me want to see it was the actor. He looked just like Charles Bronson, and I was like, who the hell is this? I thought they CGI'd Charles Bronson face onto this dude, but no, this actor looks exactly like Charles Bronson. So I was like, all right, so I mean, the trailer looked cool, looked like it was just gonna be action-packed and a bloody mess. Mm-hmm. And the movie was pretty good, man. It was a little slow. I think the trailer was a little misleading, but the movie was good. I mean, the trailer made it seem like it was going to be action packed all the way through, but they did throw a story into it, and it was just kind of a little melodramatic type of deal. But I mean, there was the violence and everything, which was awesome. And I like these independent films because they can always go for it with the blood, like when the gunshot mm-hmm. blasts and the blood just splatters everywhere. I thought it was awesome. I mean, but overall, the movie was good. I can't remember when they said it was coming out. I want to say September, but I'm not too sure. I can't remember. This was a month ago when we were there. But overall, man, it was a good film. I enjoyed it. There wasn't that many people in there, but I mean, there was enough to in for everyone to enjoy it. And the crowd was pretty good, man. They laughed and cheered when they were supposed to. And I think one of the producers and the two main actors, I can't remember his name. Something they called him Bronzy. I remember that. And then there was another young lady, the main interest in it. I want to say her name was Eva something. I can't remember. Let me check. Eva Hamilton. She played Anna, and Robert Bronzy was the.
Bronzy.
that's not his real last name. I think
I was about to say there's no way.
No, his last name is like it was something like Kovacs or something like that.
Right.
But I think they just called him Bronzy because how he looks like Charles Bronson.
Yeah, he looks just like him, dude. I'm looking at the picture right now.
It was cool, man. We did have Daniel Baldwin in it. He was in it for just like minutes.
Oh, Lord.
He didn't have too much of a part. But when the film was over, if they did another part two to this, I think Daniel Baldwin would be a little more a bigger part in it. But, I mean, overall, this film was pretty good, man. Right. For what it was, a little indie film, and I did enjoy it. So, I mean, it was cool. And then after that, I remember texting everybody, and everybody was asleep. I was like, oh, man. But I found Patrick down in the bar, and we went and sat down there and hung out. And I mean, remember like last year when the stars were all like hanging out in the bar?
You know what? You read my mind, I guess, because that's exactly what I was about to bring up, dude. That was the one thing that bummed me out this year, man. Is that we never really saw any of the celebrities hanging out in the bar. And it's just, dude, it was so crowded, man. You know what? You're absolutely right, dude. It's, like it or not, as much as we love that location, they've outgrown it, dude. They need to think about moving this over to a bigger venue.
Yeah, because it was just too crowded. I mean, it's good that it's that crowded because the con is getting bigger and it's good for business, which I think is fine. But I think that they just overgrown. The place where it's been. I don't know if it's been here at this location since the beginning, but it's just getting too small because it was I wasn't like to the point where I was getting upset that there was too many people here, but it was just like just when you're like trying to walk around and just look at stuff at somebody's booth, it was just so hard to I mean, just to look at stuff, it was hard. I mean, you had to basically had to wait your turn to get to the table to see some stuff. And I mean, I'm like, this might sound like I'm bitching and complaining, but I'm not. It's just I think it might be time to move it somewhere else. I don't know if that's if they've noticed this. I mean, I'm sure what they noticed is that there was way more people there. We'll see what happens next year, and definitely all of us will be there. I think this is a con that I'm going to go to pretty much every year, like how I attend San Diego Comic-Con. I go to that, and that's beyond overpacked. I mean, because it's the same situation. For me anyway, it's like Comic-Con all over again. When I went the very first time, you could just walk in and go anywhere you wanted, and there was no problem. But as the years went along, it just got more and more and more people. And now it's like almost impossible just to get a badge to go inside. It's like a lottery style thing. You just cross your fingers and hope you win. And this year, I've made it in every year, but it's getting super hard. I hope that this con doesn't get to the point where it's going to be hard for fans to get in, but
yeah, that wouldn't be good, man.
I just like how like more people are coming, but it's just the overcrowdedness, and I don't know. I mean, if they move it, hey, that's cool. But I'd like them to keep this this con going, because this is our second year, and I've had I had a blast every minute.
Let me ask you a question. Didn't mean to interrupt, but who did you think were the coolest guests that you came into contact with? Like, do you have any stories about that?
I think other than meeting all the Jasons, I thought those guys are awesome, because you guys all know how big of a Friday the 13th fan I am.
Oh yeah.
But I think the one that was kind of emotional, and a guy that I just really wanted to meet because I watched him. Well, I guess I was in my 20s when I found this guy. It was a Diamond Dallas Page.
Wrestler. Shit.
I went up to him. I had to. He does his DDP yoga, and that's the program.
Sure.
That's the program that I've been doing. And I just had to go up and tell him my story. Mm-hmm. And I got a little emotional, man. I had some tears coming out when I was talking to him, and he was such an inspirational guy. Other than watching him in the ring, doing what he did, and then finally getting to meet him and just tell him my story on the struggles of everything that I'm having, like health wise, nothing major, but just trying to get myself back into some kind of shape other than what I am, but. I was telling him how centered it's made me when I'm doing his program, and he likes to hear that, because he was like,
"Oh hell yeah!"
He gave me some really good inspirational stuff, man. He's like, "You just got to keep doing it." And I did mention what I was going through with my family, or what my whole family is going through, and he just kind of looked at me and he said, "It's all right, brother." He goes, "Man, you can do this." And he gave me a hug. I think when he gave me that hug is when the tears started to, like, oh no. I mean, I didn't want to, like, I was feeling emotional just because I'm a huge fanboy of DDP. Right. So, but when he gave me that hug and said, "Brother, you're going to be all right." And then I was like, oh man, it just made me feel so much better. And I only talked to him maybe like 5 minutes, because there was people that were wanting to meet him as well. But I think out of everyone that I met, every star and everyone that I met there, I had a good time with it, and it was amazing. But just talking to Diamond Dallas Page, I think that was probably the highlight. And I don't know, man. I walked away from his table after he gave me the hug and shook my hand, and I just felt more inspired to get myself back together. And I don't know, man. I think that was the most emotional point and time that I had there. And it was awesome. But like I said, even the other guests that I met there, they were all cool. I mean, everyone was cool that I had talked to. So it was awesome. What about you? Who was the one you met? I know I'm thinking of one, because you kept talking about her the whole time. But then I saw you got a picture with her.
Yeah, I'll tell you who didn't come up and give me a big hug right off the bat. It's that little fucking shit, Andy. Alex Vincent. Man, dude. All right, dude, give it a break, man. You're not Chucky. You're Andy. All right. Keep it in perspective. We asked him for a soundbite for the podcast, because you know what a big Child's Play fan I am. Like, all the movies. I even fucking loved Cult of Chucky, which you guys all shit on. But we go over to little Andy, man, and I'm shaking already, you know, because this is Child's Play. This is the little boy himself. Hey, Andy, man, can we get a soundbite for our podcast? No, I don't do those. I don't do those. But would you like to buy an autograph for $60? I'm like, fuck you, Andy. So, right next to him, obviously you remember the second movie, right?
Yeah.
All right. So who was your favorite character in the second movie?
I can't remember her name, but the chick that was sitting right next to him, Christine
Elise.
Yeah, was that his cousin, or I can't remember?
Now, remember, she was at the foster home. They had both been adopted, and ended up being brother and sister.
That's
dude,
right.
she was the polar opposite, dude, man. We visited with her for a while. She was the nicest person ever, dude.
And she gave us a sound bite. But no, dude, I would say the coolest people we met, obviously Tom Savini. I told you that I met him in the morning. And then Don Mancini was badass. Katie Featherston, man, I feel bad for her, dude, because, you know, she's the one that kicked off all this Paranormal Activity shit, but she didn't have anybody in her line. So she was a real sweetheart. Ethan Embry, dude, that guy's just badass, man. He's just fun to sit to visit with. And he was taking time with everybody, man, everybody that came up. But yeah, obviously, I mean, Fiona Dorff was a high point for me. You know that. I tried to go over and I was going to try to meet her dad too, but his line was like way out the door. So, you know, you only get so many hours in the day. But yeah, man, those were some of the coolest people that I met up with. I know you met up with Adrienne Barbeau, right?
Yeah, we actually met her Thursday night. I flew in to Dallas, and my buddy Tommy picked me up from the airport, and we went to the Escape from New York screening. I think it was called the Texas Theater. I couldn't even tell you what part of Dallas we were in, because I mean, to me, Texas is so flat. I can't tell which direction I'm going. Like when I'm here, like if I'm down the Bay Area or even here in my part of the state, I can look at a mountain and go, okay, that's north, that's east, that's south. There, it's just I don't know what direction I went to. So, but my buddy knew where it was. So we went to the theater. It was one of those little old school theaters, like one of the original theaters in Dallas, probably. And I liked it, man. I like going to these old theaters because it's real vintage inside. They have awesome posters from old films. And it's one of those theaters where they show a lot of old films. Maybe once in a while they'll get something new. But it was a majority of just old. They had the digital projector and an actual film projector. So I love these.
Oh, wow.
I was hoping that the film was going to be the 35 millimeter, but it wasn't. And I think it was either a Blu-ray because it was like crystal clear. But it was still cool. It was pretty sweet. Adrienne Barbeau wasn't right there from the beginning. Because they came in and made an announcement. Well, when we got to the theater, I mean, I was like, come on, hurry, because we were running a little late. And I wasn't sure if it was like sold out or anything. So we found the parking spots. We ran to the theater. We got there. I said, is there still room? And the lady goes, yeah. He goes, there's plenty of room. Come on in. So I was like, okay, good. So we went in. We sat down, got our popcorn, got our drinks.
Mm-hmm.
We sat down and kind of hung out and looked around at everybody there, and everybody was just super psyched and just couldn't wait for the film to start. The guy that was hosting the show, I can't remember his name, but he did have something to do with Texas Frightmare. So he came in, kind of gave us his spiel on who he was, and then he said, okay, a little bad news, but I still do have some good news. When they said bad news, I was like, oh no, she's not here.
Right.
And they said, yeah, she's not here right now. Due to the weather, her plane was delayed. He goes, but she's here in town, but she's just, we took her to her hotel to drop her stuff off. Then we're bringing her over. So that was cool. They said that she'll be here at the end for the Q&A. So that was good. The weather was pretty bad because I almost got stuck in LA because there was weather in Dallas. But I made it there right before the weather, so that was cool. But I assume she was coming from L.A. as well. So we watched the film, and I love Escape from New York. Escape from New York is just an amazing film. And to see it on the screen again after, geez, almost 40 years, if it's not 40 years, it was amazing. Because the first time I had seen it was at the drive-in. It was like a double feature with, I think it was For Your Eyes Only. James Bond. And I think that was when I didn't even know what Escape from New York was when I first saw it, and much less who John Carpenter was.
Was that the first Carpenter film you ever saw?
No, the first one I seen was Halloween. But
you didn't put two and two together.
No, I mean, I was still young when this. I didn't care who a director. I think the only director I knew at that point in my life was George Lucas. because of because of Star Wars. But I John Carpenter's name was nothing to me at that time. Not like today where I worship him. But it was cool. The movie started, and what I like about going to something like this, how mm-hmm. it's a film that all the fans love. Every time somebody's name, like Kurt Russell or Isaac Hayes or Adrian Barbeau, everybody clapped. But when Adrian Barbeau's name came across the screen, everybody like screamed, which was awesome. the movie was going. You guys all know what the movie is, but what was awesome though is when it came to Adrian Barbeau's first appearance on the screen. Everybody, as well as me, everyone just like pretty much jumped out of the seat and cheered.
I can imagine
super loud. And what was cool about that? None of us knew because everyone's looking at the screen. When Adrian Barbeau came up at the end and mm-hmm. was talking, she said she never felt that much love in a room in a while. Because she goes, I just got to the theater. The movie was already going. She said, I just sat down like minutes before her first appearance on the screen, and she got mm-hmm. situated. She goes, and when I came on the screen, hearing you guys cheer and scream and clap, she said she almost teared up. She said, oh my God. She actually did tear up while she was telling the story, but she was like, wow. And she just couldn't believe it. And I'd never met her before ever. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to meet her, but I went somewhere. This was at Comic-Con, and I went I went to something else. But she just told us amazing story and what she did while they were filming this. A lot of stuff that I didn't even know, because I do watch these documentaries on the film, but she was talking about other things, which was amazing. I had no idea. I do remember that she was married to John Carpenter. I had no idea they had a kid together. So mm-hmm. she talked about that. And then when they were doing the question and answering, when it got to my question, I didn't even ask her about Escape from New York. I asked her about that movie Swamp Thing that she had done with Wes Craven.
And I remember that.
That was cool. I will play a little sound clip of that later on. But it's kind of crappy. You can hear me good, but you can kind of hear her. I don't know. I'll mess with the audio and see if I can make it a little louder. But it was cool. After all that was done, she told these amazing stories, and it's like as soon as she was done, everybody just took off.
Right.
I figured people would have been waiting out in the lobby, lingering around, hoping to meet her. So my buddy and I, we ran and just hit the can really quick. And then when we came out, we were standing in the lobby, and it was pretty much empty, except for maybe some of the workers and a couple of the guys that were putting the show on. So we were like, all right. I know there was one person standing there because he had like a poster or something for her to sign. And in mm-hmm. the beginning, they told us, we don't know if she's signing or taking pictures or anything. So we can't tell you how that's going to work. So they go, but if she does, go for it. So we were cool. I mean, I didn't have nothing for her to sign. I just wanted to meet her. Mm-hmm. She came out. She was in the theater talking to one of the guys that was putting it on. Then when she came out, she just kind of went around the room and started meeting everyone that was there, which was cool. And when it got to us, man, I was just so happy and excited, and told her how much I loved her and all the films that I had seen her in. And she was really nice. She was real humble, and she can appreciate her fans. That's what I like when you meet stars that you love. She was really cool. I just didn't want her to be Billy from Creepshow.
Yeah, like Deadpool said, never meet your heroes.
Yeah, I didn't want her to be like that, and she was far from that. She was really, really sweet. She was like, "Oh, it was nice to meet you, and I'm glad you're here." And have a good night, and she gave me a hug, and I was just, oh my God, I got the picture with her, so I was happy, and it was awesome. Other than to see one of my favorite films of all time, but meeting the beautiful Adrian Barbeau, and oh man, I thought it was an amazing night. I was just so hyped up, and but that damn, I was starving. All I ate was, I didn't eat much flying down there, because all you got is peanuts and stuff like that on the plane. And right. But oh man, we just went and got something to eat, and then that was a night. We called it a night Thursday, and then Friday is when we hooked up with you guys. But again, man, hanging out with you guys, man, it's so fun. It seems like we've known each other forever, but I've only actually seen you guys twice. But it was still fun, dude. I mean, as well as hanging out with AJ and Rose and Philip, man, it was awesome. And playing what was that game we were playing? That card game?
Cards Against Humanity. That's all Patrick's deal, dude. He introduced me to that game.
That game was nuts. It was fun and it was hilarious. I was like, I play board games. I'm not much of a card game guy. I'd never even heard of this card game, but man, if any of you listeners have heard it or played it, you know what it is. But man, it's nuts. It was fun, dude. I enjoyed it.
I think nuts is one of the answers on one of those cards.
overall, man, what was your hold on really quick before you answer this.
All right.
Fiona Dourif, man. I mean, how hot is she? She wasn't all dolled up or anything with makeup and everything. She just looked like she just was just plain Jane. She was still sexy.
Dude, more than anything, she's just like super down to earth, man. We actually had a conversation about that old TV show, The Prisoner. Because I think that day when I met her, I was wearing my Prisoner t-shirt. And she's like, The Prisoner? What is that? And Don Mancini was a couple of tables over. And I turned around and I said, hey, Don, you've heard of The Prisoner, right? And he's like, of course, dude. That's one of my biggest inspirations. Fucking love The Prisoner. And she's asking about that. So I think we may have a new fan that may go back and check out all the episodes of that old British TV show. But yeah, dude, she was down to earth, like talking just like a human being. Like sometimes like you said, you wonder what version of the celebrity you're gonna get when you walk up. But you know, 99 times out of 100, they're just cool as can be. You know, little Andy, you know, you can't blame the boy. I mean, he hasn't done anything in fucking decades, you know, and now all of a sudden he's back in a couple of the movies again. I guess they threw him a bone. So, you know, maybe it went to his head a little bit, you know, whatever. But shout out if you're listening, brother. We love you, Alex. I'm just fucking with you, man. But hey, I tell it as it is, man. That's part of being a reporter on the podcast, right?
Yeah. I met him briefly, man. I kind of like bumped into him walking around. I was like, oh, what's up, brother? And he was, hey, man, how you doing? Shook his hand, and that was about it. But
right.
He looks exactly the same. Yeah, he put on some pounds, and he's got some facial hair. But if you shave that beard off, man, he still looks like little Andy. He's a short guy. He's not really tall, but I was looking at him when I was just saying, hey, man, what's up? But I was just like, man, this is the little kid that I was a teenager when these movies came out. But I was like, man, I got Andy standing right in front of me, and I just shook his hand. What I liked about every time I passed the table, there was always somebody there, always a line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
I liked when he was taking pictures with the fans. I loved how he had his own little good guy doll. It wasn't the Chucky when he looks all mean. It was regular happy, go-lucky, good guy doll. I thought that was sweet. He was holding, man, that doll was almost as big as him. But it was cool because in the first Child's Play film, you see little Andy holding that thing like he loves it so much. And then when I don't know why I don't have my camera out at all times taking pictures of everything. I was like, man, I should have got a shot of that. And this kind of got a side-by-side comparison with a real shot from the film. Mm-hmm. And he looks exactly the same other than the hair on his face. But, oh, man.
True.
The little bit that I met him, I thought he was cool. And how he was at his table with his fans, I thought that was awesome. But I didn't get to talk to what's her face? Kyle was her name in the film.
Kyle. Yeah, she was badass in that movie, wasn't she?
Yeah, was it Christine Elise?
Christine, yep.
Man, I mean, I loved her in the film back then, back in the 80s or maybe 90s by that time. I can't remember. But she was hot then, and she's still hot now. A little too much makeup on her face for my taste, but she was. I wish I would have got to talk to her. I think the most I got out of it, she went hi as I was walking by, and I went hey. Mm-hmm. But then I was on a mission at that point. I meant to go back to talk to her, but I never did. But beautiful young lady. I thought she was awesome. I didn't even get to go talk to the Paranormal Activity chick. Did you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we went over there like I was saying, man.
That's
I
right.
Felt
you got a soundbite. Duh, I remember that now.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad for her, dude, because it's like there was nobody in the line over there. She was right across from where Savini's table was set up, and that seems like a bad spot, dude. Like last year they had old Mr. Diabetes set up there from The Thing. Who am I thinking of, dude? The older actor. You know who I'm talking about. Listeners are trying to reach out and kick me right now.
Brimley.
There you go, Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
he was in that spot last year, and he didn't have a line either, man. I'm thinking it's kind of sort of a bad spot, dude, sort of like right over there to the side at the end of everything. Maybe everybody is kind of like has exhaustion by the time they get over there, you know?
Yeah, because she was pretty much right next to all the IT kids, and
yeah, that's tough, man.
Their lines were out of control,
right?
And they had so many fans there to meet them. I wanted to just go up and meet them, but it was impossible. There was no way.
Hey, dude, is it just me and my sick mind, or were you kind of thinking, oh fuck, I sure hope a pedophile in a trench coat doesn't walk up here, man?
Hey, I mean, they had every single one of them. I think the only one that wasn't there was the kid from Stranger Things, Richie. He wasn't.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't there.
I didn't even notice he was missing.
But all the other ones were there. Patrick and I went to the IT panel. I think that was on Sunday, and Saturday, Sunday, one of those days. But
okay.
Man, those little kids, man, they loved what they did in the film. But the littlest kid that played Georgie, man, he like just, I don't know if this was his very first con, but he just would not stop talking. I mean, you could see it in the other kids' faces, like, get the mic away from that kid.
He stole the show, huh?
I thought that little kid was gold, man. He was he was hilarious, and all the stories he told of what they did on set, and I could see why some of the kids might have been a little not upset, but kind of a little annoyed, because he kept
cutting
he kept cutting everyone off. But dude, I know the
felt like they were getting upstaged, huh?
Yeah, I know the panel's online, so I'm sure if you did, look up IT panel on YouTube, it'll pop up. But that little boy, man, he just kept going and going and going. He was just so happy to be there. I thought that was awesome. I didn't get to meet any of them. Patrick, he met a few of them, but didn't know. Yep. He didn't know it was them.
That's right.
He was in the bar, and one of them said, hey, can you take our picture? And he went, all right. And then he said he didn't realize that was them until later on. I was like, oh, man, that was probably when I was at one of the screenings. But. I mean, that was cool. I remember seeing one of them in the elevator, but there was like so many people with him. I didn't even say nothing. I just like kind of looked his direction, and that was it. But
sure.
But yeah, man, those little kids, man, I think they were the main ones everyone was there to see, other than, Tobin Bell and, what's her face? Amanda.
Misha Barton?
No, Shawnee Smith.
Right. Yeah, the saw couple, huh?
Yeah, because they were over off on the first left hand corner, and that line for them went down the hall.
So, that's always a prime spot.
Yeah, because I remember last year Dario Argento was over there, and I think I seen him once last year because there was so many people around his table, and there was just security all standing in front of those tables, so you can just kind of get a peek at them.
Oh yeah.
I think I felt a little sorry for Tom Savini because every time I walked by his table, nobody was ever there. Maybe one person.
Right.
But I had met him before. I met him in San Francisco at another horror convention. But I mean, I just kind of like walked by and said, "Hey, how you doing?" That was about it. But yeah, that chick from Paranormal Activity, man, I felt a little bad. I should at least went up to her and told her how much I love the film.
Yeah. Oh, we did, man. And I hate the film, but we went up and visited with her, man. And she was as cool as could be, dude. But yeah, I'm not a Paranormal Activity fan or however you say it. But yeah, she was super sweet, man. But you could tell she was also a little maybe intimidated, you know. I knew this was her first con to ever show up at, so maybe she didn't quite know what to expect. But yeah, she, like I said, dude, she was at the table of death over there, man. Whoever's at that table never gets a line for whatever reason. Hell, you could probably put, Lou Ferrigno over there and not have a line, you know. Well, maybe not. They'd find a way. You know who had a crazy long line?
Who?
Fucking Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, Matthew Lillard.
Oh yeah, he
that
did.
Dude always had people waiting for him.
I got to talk to him Saturday night, like right before they closed.
Oh yeah,
yeah. As pretty much they shut his line down, and he went through everybody. I was kind of walking by, and he was standing right there, so I got to talk to him for a little bit. But it was cool, man. He was a cool dude. I also went to his panel. I believe that was Sunday, and he had a lot of good stuff to say about his career and really inspirational stuff to tell people that were getting into the business of acting. And he was a really cool dude, because when I talked to him, I wasn't talking about movies anything. I was talking to him. The first time I had seen him was a TV show on Nickelodeon called Skate TV. He was one of the hosts where he interviewed skaters from back in the day in the 80s. And I told him, I said, "Man," I said, "that show was awesome." And when I brought up that show, he kind of like looked at me and like, "Whoa!" I mean, I'm sure he didn't forget about it, but I'm sure a lot of people don't go up and talk to him about the really early beginning stages of his career, because people were talking to him about Scooby Doo, and little kids were there loving, "Oh, this is Shaggy," and Scream.
Yeah, of course.
And as far as some people at talking to him about Serial Mom, but when I brought up Skate TV, just the look on his face was like, "Wow."
But, yeah, this dude's been—he stays busy, doesn't he?
Yeah, man, he's constantly working. I didn't realize how much stuff he's done, because I wouldn't during his panel when he was talking about what he had done and what he's doing and what he's gonna do, I was like, "Wow, man, this guy's just constantly working, man. How do you find time to do these cons?" But man, he does. So it was cool, man. I mean, Matthew Lillard, I always thought he was cool, and meeting him and listening to him speak, he's like really cool. Hopefully I get to meet him again someday. I thought he was an amazing. Did you make it to any panels?
Yeah, the only panel I made it to was you could probably guess. Oh.
I don't know where I was during that.
Chucky. That's the only one I made it to,
dude.
Oh,
no, I couldn't even get in there. I walked by and peeked in.
Yeah?
But I didn't feel like standing because all the seats were taken.
Yeah, we got there early, man, so we had really good seats. I actually recorded it. We're supposed to play it as an extra. If we ever actually do a Frightmare recap, we will.
I can't remember other than meeting all the people that a couple of them that I met last year were there. Hey, I remember you, and I couldn't remember the names, but I had a good time. I also did. You guys make it? I went down to the karaoke. When was it? Saturday night after. Oh, I went to a screening. I went and seen Ouija House and. Oh, that one. I mean, if there's nothing on.
Isn't Dee Wallace in it?
Yeah, but she's like barely in it.
For like 1 second?
She's like at the end.
Okay, I get it. Say no
more. There was another, Amisha Barton. She was in it.
Right.
I thought she was going to be the main star because her face is all over the posters. and she's not the main star, as well as the chick from American Pie and Sharknado.
Tara Reid?
Yeah, her. I thought she was going to be there, and I thought she was going to be the main stars. I mean, that poster's misleading everyone. But I did meet the main actress that was in it. She was really cool, and I liked her performance in the film. I liked what was going on in it. It was just some of it was just a little cheesy. I mean, I think if you read it as a book, it would have been better because your imagination's always better than what you're seeing on the screen. But
sure.
I mean, overall, it was good. I mean, I liked what was happening in the film, but it was just some of it was a little iffy. But
I get it.
I still enjoyed it. I think there was way more people in that screening than there was when I saw Death Kiss. So, but when that was all said and done and over with, I ran over to the karaoke party, and it was coming close to the end. And it was jumping. Everyone was dancing. It didn't matter who was on stage singing. I was like, man, I should have got up there and sang something. Next year, man.
Next year.
Because I'm not I'm not a singer, everyone. But there was a couple guys up there, man. But everybody was just having a good time. I mean, when you do karaoke, not these professional karaoke singers. Those are the ones that I can't stand that go to these bars and that can sing and want you to know that they can sing. These guys were up there just having a good time, not singing or they're singing to them, but just not sounding good at all. So I'm like, man, I could get up there and do my best. But everybody was loving it. I thought that place was jumping. It could have went a little longer, I thought, but I think it ended like right at 12, and then they just they kicked everyone out. But I guess that was pretty much, I mean, other than meeting stars and hanging out with people and as well as you guys and blowing all my money down there at stuff I don't need. But other than that, man, it was an amazing con again, just like last year. And I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, they do it right, man. They do it right. That's what, because I was at last weekend, I went to Comic Palooza on Friday. And dude, that's the one here in Houston, and it's just the difference between Frightmare and then that, like 2 weeks later, was night and day. Frightmare is very accommodating. They let you get real up close and personal. You go into this Comic Palooza here in Houston, and it's like entering a big fucking airplane hangar, man. You know, and then like half the people weren't even there yet Friday, so I wasn't really able to meet a whole lot of the celebrities, and those that were there, man, they all had handlers saying, no sound bites, no podcasts, no interviews. I'm like, you know, that's what I came here for. That's kind of my job when I'm doing this. So, you know, I was out of that place quick. We probably won't be returning to that one. We do appreciate the invite, Comic Palooza, but until you guys give more respect to podcasters, we're out. So we'll focus on Frightmare, dude, and we'll. I think we're gonna try this Alamo City Comic Con in October, which is in San Antonio, which is a beautiful city, man, a beautiful area. You down for that? You guys fly into San Antonio at all?
Yes. When is that one?
October 26th through 28th.
Okay.
So because of the time of year it is, they always have a lot of horror guests there. By the way.
Okay. Yeah. Because I'm going to New York at the beginning of October. Dude, definitely, man. I'll make it down. Oh, when was it again?
Let me double check. I think it's – I'm pretty sure that it's the 26th through the 28th. I know Luke Cage is going to be there. I'm looking at who all they've announced so far.
What's the con called again?
Alamo City. Data from Star Trek is going to be there.
Oh, okay.
Brent Spiner. I don't think they've announced too many guests yet, but yeah, Luke Cage and Data. That's a pretty good lineup. Oh, Pee Wee Herman's gonna be there, man.
I'll be there then. I love.
Gotta meet Pee Wee Herman.
Okay.
Oh no. I wonder if Ted's gonna be there because his hero Sam J. Jones, Flash Gordon himself, is gonna be there.
I've met him before. He's cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do it, man.
Yeah, man. My son will probably be mad because that's his birthday weekend. But I'll go. Who knows? Maybe I'll bring him along.
There you go. That'll solve that problem.
He likes cons. You know what? That sounds like a good birthday present. He likes going to cons. He's going with me to San Diego. So, I don't know. I'll talk to my wife and maybe we'll all go down there. But
cool.
I've seen advertisements for this con, but never went to it. But man, if you guys are gonna go, man, I'll definitely go. So
I'm in for sure. I got a lot of family in San Antonio too. But you know what? I'll probably try to stay at a hotel close to where the con is because I think it's right near the Riverwalk, dude.
Oh, right on. Yeah, man. We'll figure something out. But
all right.
Other than that, I mean, you got anything else about Texas Frightmare?
No, we covered it all, man. It's just it's a great time, dude. Second annual for all of us. And, you know, we already know we're going next year. The only thing we need to do is remind each other when the hotels go up so we can make sure we stay there again.
Yeah, man, it was so much easier and better. We didn't have to go drive somewhere else. I mean, I'm tired. I'm going up to the room. So I thought, and it was cheap. It wasn't expensive. So I thought that was cool. Usually when I go to cons, I'm paying like close to $400 a night. This wasn't bad, man.
I think I'd be sleeping on the sidewalk if they were trying to charge us $400 a night, dude.
Yeah, I think the only thing we need to do is we need to get to a store and pick up snacks and load up with drinks. Because,
okay,
that some of that food in the hotel was pretty pricey.
All right, so here's my problem touring with Phil. Because, you know, obviously Phil and I are joined at the hip, right? Brian couldn't make it, which hopefully he will next year, but eventually he will. The problem, dude, with touring with Phil is no matter how much beer you buy, it's not enough. think about an empty black hole or a vortex that everything you put anywhere near it sucks up and it's gone forever. That's Philip when it comes to beer. So fucking three cases weren't enough. So next time we know to get lots more brew in advance.
Oh, man. It feels awesome, man. I love him and Rose. And as well as you and AJ, man, I love both you guys. It's always cool to hang out and everything. But, yeah, I think that's it right now for Lance's part of the show. Like I said, I got interviews with some of the rest of the crew that I hung out with down there. But, hey, brother, man, thank you so much for coming on and kicking off the 100th episode and running through the Texas Frightmare weekend stuff. And, again, we will be there next year, definitely. And I think we need to bring some recording stuff.
Sounds good, yeah.
And then we can do a drunken version of the show.
kind of like the Scary Dads did. Oh, shout out to them, dude. I discovered a new podcast, Scary Dads. They're on iTunes, and I think they're through Podbean, but I get it through iTunes. But those guys are really cool.
Yeah, when we met them down there, I subscribed to their show, and then I listened to the episodes. I listened to the one that Rick and Danny did with them. So, yeah, man, it's a good show, man. I like them. I'm definitely going to listen to more of their stuff. I want to go back to the beginning of their things. I was listening to whatever the new ones that are coming out. But, yeah, I mean, they were good guys. I just met them for just that little bit then when we were standing outside. But it's a good show. Yeah, dude, definitely you guys check out a Scary Dad. Is it Scary Dad Podcast? I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I think it's just Scary Dads, man.
Yeah,
it's easy to find. I mean, it's a very unique name.
Yeah, it's just called Scary.
It's not too hard to confuse them with.
It's Scary Dad Podcast. And if you want to visit their website, scarydad.com. I love their logo, man. It's a Frankenstein with some crossbones. It's pretty sweet. Yeah, it's a good show, man. If you guys listen to horror podcasts, do check them out. As well as if you're a dad and an old grandpa like us. Check them out. Awesome show. But hey, Lance, brother, man, thank you so much for coming on. And definitely, you're always welcome to come back whenever. What do you guys got coming up?
Same here, dude. You're welcome. You're welcome anytime. You're part of the crew. What do we have coming up? Well, we did upgrade. We paired that with RoboCop. That's our newest one. Shit, dude. Because we are a horror podcast, Nez, we've got Jurassic Park 2, Fallen World coming up, of course, right? What else is Brian's schedule? What's the next superhero movie? I'm sure that's on our docket at some point.
I think Ant-Man and the Wasp is next.
I hope not, dude. I hope he doesn't schedule that one. Hereditary next week. I'm looking forward to that. We've got a year in horror, 1978 coming up, and an Australian horror movie with the Super Marcy crew. Bede and Marcy are going to come on with us.
All right, on, cool.
So, yeah, dude, lots coming up.
All right.
What have you got coming up?
As far as MacNez, I have I got Brian coming on the show. We're going to talk about the car. And then I got another show that some friends of mine were talking about, that Netflix show, The Toys That Made Us.
Oh, yeah.
I got that coming. And not sure what else. But as far as E-Society, we got our regular stuff that we do every week. And Up to the Challenge, that goes on every week. And, yeah, so if you guys are already listeners to all this, yeah, all the regular stuff is still coming, what we put out every week. And, yeah, man, it's just MacNez. It just took me a while to. I could have probably been way over 100 by now, but I get caught up doing all the other shows that I do. But this is my main, my number one love. It is my very first show, and I can't believe I'm at episode 100. We're almost to 100 on E-Society, but I think if you do like all the shows total that I've done, it's been way over 100. I'd say close to 300 of what I've done on this network. But hey, brother, man, right on, man. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll figure out something else, and you can come on again, and we'll do this all over. And I love going on the Horror Returns. All you listeners that know, you guys know that. But if you guys don't know, check out the Horror Returns, man. Amazing show. Three amazing guys, my brothers that I love so much. And we are family, all of us. And, hey, man, Lance, brother, again, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, congrats on 100, man.
Right on, brother. Hey, we'll be back in a second with who knows what. I'll tell you in a second.
What's up, everybody? This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. Listen, I have a couple podcasts. I record podcasts. I don't listen to any of them. I listen to the MacNez podcast.
Right on, brother, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Lance, you know you're always welcome. Yeah, I mean, we did what we could, man. We talked about whatever, and it was a blast, man. I can't wait to go back next year. If it is in the same hotel, I'm all for it. But you like you heard, man, we did say it was just super crowded, and we think that they should move it to somewhere else. But I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? But either way, it was an awesome time. Love hanging out with my brothers, and we will be back there again next year for Texas Frightmare Weekend 2019. Wow, 2 years already. But anyway, let's roll on forward. My next guest that's going to come on, I can't thank him enough. We thank him all the time on E-Society. When I'm on doing this, I do thank him as well. And this is a guy that has been there from the beginning for pretty much every show on the SkaterNez Podcast Network. And this is my brother, Steve, man. I got a little bit of a time with him when we were down in Sacramento for the Slayer show. And I got a few words from him. So here it is.
Hey, what's up, everybody? 100th episode. Sorry, I'm at Sacramento at the Slayer show. Anthrax just finished and sang my ass off, so my voice is a little shitty. But I can't have an 100th episode without this brother right here. This guy, I've mentioned him numerous times, talked hella shit about him off and on. But our number one listener, he was there from the beginning for MacNez Podcast. He was there from the beginning for East Society, Big Eyes, and all the other shit that, you know, I do. Steve, welcome to the show for the first time, brother. How you doing?
I'm great. What a show so far. This has been badass. Thanks for having me.
Right on, man. I couldn't do this. I knew eventually we would get you on, but fucking overall, I mean, I asked a couple other, another guy, listener. This is your time to shine, to talk shit, say whatever you like about either show or whatever we do. We're all here, man. Just go for it.
Oh, the shows are great. Everything's good. You guys do the sports stuff. You know, the Raiders suck and fucking, you know. But that's beside the point. But everything's great. I'm glad I was here from day one. Keeps me entertained on my way to work. I think at one time Lance said something about I'm addicted to podcasts. Well, when you drive a fucking hour a day to work, you need something to listen to. So, but thanks for having me. Fucking Slayers are about ready to hit on and fucking kicked ass tonight.
Fuck yeah, man. Testament rocked earlier. Behemoth sucked.
Fuck Behemoth. They fucking sound like drums and death.
Anthrax just finished, and you guys know that's my shit. So, fuck, man, Lamb of God is next, and then Slayer. I'm just fucking glad it's not hot. It was a little warm in the beginning, but now it's, like, nice and breezy, so.
For us big guys, we need some breeze, you know. So, but, yeah, Slayer's coming up. Fuck, it's going to be a good show. Good show.
Fuck yeah. Here's a question I've never asked you. What made you want to listen to all the bullshit when I first started from the very beginning?
Because I'm a guy that likes to talk shit, and I figured it'd be something entertaining. And since Peggy knew you from the past, I figured, you know, let's check this out. And ever since day one, I enjoyed every minute of it.
Right on, man. Fuck, 100 episodes for Mac Neds. I think we're 96, something around East Society, and I can't remember Big Guys and all that. Yeah, but... do you listen to the Anchor stuff?
I try to sometimes. Not always. But I'm more with the Podbean stuff, all the Podbean stuff.
Because we do put them out eventually. What kind of phone do you have?
Android. We got a Samsung.
Okay, well then, all right, well, iTunes, because our E-Society shit for the Anchor is also on iTunes. Oh, okay. But, fuck, man. It's fucking good to fucking. I met him last year.
Stanford.
Yeah,
this weekend last year.
But fuck, dude. I mean, I should have did something with you back then. But the 100th episode, I got whoever else has been involved with the show from the beginning, but you have been there from day one, from the very get go, to where I had no fucking idea what I was doing, to all the bullshit that we're doing now. Out of everything that we've done, E Society, you guys can hear the music. They're just warming up. E-Society or Mac Neds, what was your favorite ones or just favorite moments out of any of those?
Shit. It's hard to say because everything's been pretty good. I don't know. I like the back and forth on both shows, actually, honestly. And the interviews you get when you go to the cons, those are great, you know. But all of them, I like them both. They're both great shows. I can't really pick. I don't know what. I like all the shows and all the moments because it's good shit, you know.
Right on, man. Hey, dude, thank you so much for being on. And we will get back to the music as soon as I get home. I'm going to put this all together. And any other last words for the Zisu or Jesse?
No, actually, Zisu should have been here. All right, his mumble rap's getting old, man. His mumble rap's getting old.
Yeah, fuck Kanye.
Yeah, fuck Kanye twice.
All right, guys, we'll be back in a little bit.
Right on, brother. Man, so awesome to get you on the show finally. And he's going to be on more. I don't know when, but we'll get him on as much as we can. E-Society, brother, that's the next one you need to be on with the Zisu and I. So, but, I mean, like I said, I say it all the time. This guy is number one in my book, in the Zisu's book, everyone within the GatorNez Podcast Network family, as well as our Anchor stuff. I have to give a quick plug for that. If you guys aren't listening to those, go to Anchor or all these other ones. CastBox, I think there's one called Outcast, Radio Public, Spotify, we're on there. That's a big one for us. I don't even know what Spotify is, but we're on there. iTunes again. When I say Anchor, this is a separate feed. I know some of you listeners that already know, but for those of you that don't know, there's an app called Anchor, and it's just an easy way to do podcasts. And if you guys want to do something, start your own. If I'm inspiring you to do your own show, just download the Anchor app. It's free. I don't think there's a limit on time. Like if you talk for 5 minutes or talk for an hour and 5 minutes, I don't think there's a time limit. Cause I know we haven't gone over an hour, almost to an hour, with those. And, it's really good, man. You just record it. You can add music if you want. It's there, the music they provide. You can, add some of that. I want to, but I keep forgetting. But anyway, you can record, you can, whoever else has the app, you can reach out to whoever you want to record with. Multiple people can be on it all at once and just do what you guys want to do. So, I always got to give Anchor a shout out. So check it out. Links to those are always going to be on the either E-Society page, most likely there because that's where we do our Anchor stuff from E-Society. But anyway, rolling forward, I got another guest. This is another guy that I met. He's been listening to the show for a while, but I just met him at Texas Frightmare. And this is Patrick. Awesome guy. It was so cool to hang out with him. We both were room together and we hung out and partied and everything. But it was awesome, man. It was such a blast to hang out with him. And Patrick, brother, you rock. Hopefully we can do it again sometime soon. So here's my brother Patrick. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I can't end this show without one of the awesome listeners that I met this weekend and also buddied up in room together. And he's been with, I don't know, how long have you been listening to the stuff that I've done? Well, before I do that, man, this is Patrick, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show, Kevin. I'd say it's been at least a year, well, since the Horror Return started up, shortly after that. So I've been listening for, that's at least, what, 2 years? 1 year?
Two, so
it's been about that long.
Did you just through Horror Returns is how you found out about all the crap that I do?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, them, and I think I'd heard you on a couple others, but mostly them because I hadn't really started listening to many podcasts up until I started listening to them, so everything just sort of branched out from there.
Well, obviously, I have asked listeners, but those are just guys that I've known forever, but since we're buddies now, we know each other. Just met for the first time this weekend down in Texas, and give us some what you like about the show and what you don't like. If there's something that you would like to hear more of, I mean, feel free to say whatever you want. Don't be like, well, no, it's all right, dude. Just go ahead, just let us have it.
Well, actually, I find the show pretty entertaining. Just even though there's a lot of stuff I don't necessarily do, like I'm not big into the Funko and all that, but I still enjoy listening to what's coming out just because, oh, okay, cool, you know, in case something ever strikes my fancy. I'm a sports guy, so I kind of like the sports section, even though I'm not real big on the Giants. Sorry, Theo.
I'm not either.
But I do like listening it's nice to hear other people's perspective on things from different parts of the country. So, because, you know, until you hear that, it's like you don't really know how anybody's perceived or nothing. So, overall, I love the show because it's random. There's always just whatever. I know you've just kind of gotten on there and talked about just stuff from left field to right. I mean, just everywhere. Just so it's kind of nice because it never gets stale. But the movie reviews are fun. You know, TV shows might, because a lot of times I might hear something that I didn't know was out there or just whatever. So it's overall fun. I mean, I don't really know if I would change anything. Maybe not to get on The Last Jedi's nuts maybe so much, but. But no, other than that, it's been fun. So I enjoy listening to just about everything.
Right on. This is your first year for Texas Frightmare, right?
Yes, absolutely.
What'd you think about you the whole time here, and what did you didn't like, and what? Because I'm gonna go into all the stuff that I was cool with and the stuff that I didn't care for. But same thing. What did you like? What didn't you like? And would you come back?
I'll definitely come back. It's hard to judge a con on just the first time showing up because you never know what's going on ever from year to year. But the things I liked about it, I mean, hell, there was a a lot of cosplay, a bunch of people here, which maybe not my favorite part about it, but there was some pretty solid guests. But what I didn't like about it was, one, you know, after hearing you guys about it last year, I felt like maybe it wasn't quite as guest-filled this year. And maybe it's just a down year for it, so it's, I'm not going to hold that against it. But and I really thought there'd be a lot more toy vendors than what we saw. It seemed like it was more T-shirt-oriented and video-oriented, which was fine. I just was expecting a little more other things, too.
Yeah, I'm also pretty much a collectible toy collector, and but I'm also a T-shirt guy, yeah. And I love what the awesome selection that these vendors bring, as well as the movie stuff. I mean, you know me, I love fucking crazy ass movies, and I love that Full Moon's here and Arrow, and I can't remember the other two companies that are here, plus the other guys that are just hyping up right. their movies. But yeah, I think my biggest complaint this year was. It was just a little too crowded. Not saying that in a bad way. Like, I mean, that's awesome that so many people are here to come and help just for what this convention is. Because I've had an amazing time last year. I had an amazing time this year with you and Lance and Rick and the guys and everyone else that I've talked to and met. Even met some listeners to the show, which I was kind of like, oh, okay. I mean, so are you Niz? Or yeah, but. I mean, I think it was just the overcrowding. But that's how these conventions are, man. You heard me talk about Comic-Con back in 2005 when it was, like, empty, and then now you can't even get in. And I think that's where this con is going to, because I remember last year on Friday there was a lot of people, but you were cool. You can still get around. But this past Friday, the first day, it was like just bumper to bumper all over the place. But yeah. I still had an awesome time. What out of what you've seen so far, what has been your favorite?
I really thought the Jason panel was pretty cool, and I did like some of the collectible vendors there. They had some really cool pieces. The more like the arty stuff, you know, where they actually crafted something. There was some really neat stuff there. And I definitely enjoyed just meeting some new people and things like that, which, you know, happens a lot of these places. And I'm looking forward to a couple panels today that I'm hoping are going to be highlights of the show. But we'll see how those go. But yeah, overall, I think it was, and it was laid out pretty good. I think, like you said, the crowd just kind of, it's just kind of starting to outgrow the venue, I think, is part of the problem. But I think the just meeting some new people and hearing people's stories in the panels and stuff like that, I think those are usually my highlights. I do enjoy the panels quite a bit, so that would be pretty much my take on what happened this weekend.
Right on, Pat. Yeah, for me, same thing. I mean, everyone knows I'm a huge Friday the 13th fan, so I had to be in there for the Jason panel, and that was pretty much my highlight of the whole thing, listening to all of them just tell us their stories of playing this character. Steve Dash was probably the best one from part two. Kane Hodder called him Sackhead, and if you guys have not met Steve Dash or just heard him speak, he's like, I don't know where he's from, but to me, I'm thinking of Goodfellas and Straight Out of New York type of guy. And man, this guy was hilarious. I'm sure the panel will be on YouTube eventually. But if you guys do, man, do go up and meet Steve Dash whenever you can, if he's at a con near you. And because, man, that guy was hilarious. But hey, man, hey, Patrick, man, thanks for so much for coming on and so much for hooking this all up for the both of us right now, dude. And dude, you're always welcome to come on the show no matter what. And hope to see you again next year. Any last words?
No, but thanks for having me on the show, and keep on doing what you do.
Right on, brother. Hey, we'll be back in a second.
Right on, Patrick, man. Thank you so much for being on the show. And everyone so far that's been on, Lance, Steve, Patrick, and I can't believe these 100 episodes that I've been yapping to you guys. Well, it's been over 100 if you listen to E-Society and Big Guys and all that and all the other times. Native Side with Nez, just regular Horacopia when I'm on with the Hellbilly and Blind Frankenstein. But, oh, man, I it's still hard to believe that I've been doing this for, I don't know. I lost track. But 100 episodes. I got more episodes lined up right after this. I know this should have been out a long time ago, a real long time ago, but it just takes me forever to put this together, mainly because I've just been lazy. But then I'm gearing up for Comic-Con, which is in a few days. So when did I start this? I've been piecing this together the whole time. So I couldn't even remember when I actually started this episode. But by the time you hear this, man, I think a couple months has gone by since May, since we recorded some of this. And the stuff with Steve was back, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago when I was at Slayer. But anyway, some more guests. These are probably the last guys that I'm going to have on this episode. And I'm going to do more stuff with them. I love both of these guys. I met them last year at Texas Frightmare. But just briefly, I didn't. I listened to the show like maybe once or twice, but I really didn't know them. But this is Rick and Danny from the Hellman Power Hour. And these guys are awesome. I hung out with them a little bit longer. Hopefully we can hang out more sometime, either next year or who knows where. But Rick and Danny, man, you guys rock. I love your show. If you guys haven't listened to them, listen to Legion Podcasts and Helming Power Hour. Ricky, he's got another show, House of Wax, which is an amazing show. It's a new show. Not that many episodes yet, but awesome. Awesome breaking down horror movies. He also has a YouTube channel for House of Wax. Just look up House of Wax. Wax, not wax, W-A-X. It's like, what? Like I'm going to whack you in the head. It's W whatever, however you spell wax. You guys know. And if you do listen to this, you know I can't spell or read or anything. So, but yeah, check out Danny's show. Check out Helming Power Hour. Everything on the Legion Podcast Network. Check all that stuff out. Short Bus Cinema, awesome show. I'm going to be on there sometime. I don't know when. But anyway, here's Rick and Danny from the Helming Power Hour.
Hey, guys, welcome back. Still down here in Texas. Got two awesome guys right down in front of me, and it's an honor to meet the guys from Helming Power Hour. I know I met you guys last year, but it was just like a hey thing. But then as the year went by, and let's just go around the room, introduce yourself.
Yeah, Rick Morgan, one half or one third now of the Helming Power. We actually have a third person now. So, yeah, we hooked up and did a show together a while back for the floods that happened here in Texas. So, yeah, we got to meet each other a while back, and the more we get to talk online and stuff, man, just you're a cool dude, man. So, yeah, it's cool to get together and just be a part of this, man. Congrats on your show.
Oh, right on, man. Yes, like I heard the guy said earlier, it's 100th episode. And how many episodes have you done for just Hail Ming?
62. So we're not too far behind you. But we crank out one every month or so. So you'll be at 200 by the time we get to 100.
All right, we got another awesome dude right here, brother. Introduce yourself.
All right, Danny Bennett, again, one third of the Hail Ming Power Hour. Congratulations on your 100th episode. That's awesome. I mean, that's and knowing that we've just done 62, it seems like a lot of work to get there. So
we thought we would get six done. So,
yeah. What made you guys want to do all this podcasting stuff?
I became a podcast fan because I drive an hour to work and an hour back from work. So I got tired of listening to the same music over and over because I'm an old dude. I don't want to listen to anything new. But I started getting into all things Killer POV, which are now Shockwaves. They were the first podcast I started listening to, and it was horror-based. And I just hit Danny up. I was like, dude, we can do this. You know, because a lot of the stuff they were talking and the way they were just interacting with each other is just normal conversations we have with each other. And that's just kind of what brought that to a head, and we just started doing this, and we wanted to do something really different. How can you compete with, I mean, Shockwaves is huge. You know, there's shows out there that you just can't compete with. So we had to figure out something we could do a little different. So we didn't want to be caught in a box either and only do horror. We want to do a lot of different stuff because we like a lot of different things. So we wanted to open it up to where we just can do whatever we think is cool.
Right on. It's for me, too, as well. I mean, I drive an hour and a half to work every day. And the same thing, listening to the same music over and over. We're both kids of the 80s, and we love it. But you can only hear Video Killed the Radio Star so many times. But, Dan, the same question. What got you into all this?
Rick. No, I mean, yeah, he was listening to podcasts, and like you said, we worked together for 6 years at a warehouse, and we had parted ways for a while, but then he called me back up to actually start coming to Texas Frightmare once a year, and on that trip, you know, he's like, you got to listen to these guys, and they said, you know, we could do this, and so we made a plan, and we got together, and we recorded some episodes, and that's the way it's been. It gives us a good opportunity to get together and hang out. Stay in touch.
Yeah, it's been really good for rekindling that friendship because there was a good, I don't know, 10 years that we didn't really even talk to each other. Just kind of a hey every once in a while. But this has really gotten us back together to where we're talking on a pretty much a daily basis or so. And you know, that's a good thing, man. We really enjoy just talking to each other and hanging out. So that's the beauty of the podcast is, you know, gives us a chance to catch up too.
Are you guys in the same room when you're recording all this?
No. We both live in Tennessee, but I live in Middle Tennessee. He lives in West Tennessee. So usually we use Google Hangouts or, you know, we're on online.
Yep. Because that's what we do. When I'm by myself, I'm just sitting in my little computer room.
Yeah.
And when I do the E Society and Big Guys and all the other million ones that I do, I always just do the Skype thing and... I got a buddy living in Northern California. I got way up at the top, close to Oregon. I got another guy in Pennsylvania. And I have a buddy that comes on every now and then is in L.A., then Alaska with Brian. Yeah, I got to shout out you, Brian. And just everyone in Lance and everyone else, man. Just nice little knit family and everything. But what are the other shows that you guys are a part of? Because I know I hear you all over the place.
Well, I mean, I do a lot of guest spots, and we both do. I mean, and that's the fun thing about this being part of Legion Podcast is because all these other shows, they all really kind of interact with each other. So it's a really nice community, I guess you would call it, to where we're all supporting each other. So it's easy to get on some guest spots and come in and talk about some movies that necessarily won't make it on Helming or the other shows. I have another show called Short Bus Cinema, where we're looking for the worst movie ever made, and that's me and Johnny Krug, which is another, as weird as it is, he's one of our biggest influences too. Well, mine anyways. The way that he put a show together, because it was a solo show and just fast-paced, cut out all the bull crap. I mean, really well-done show. It's making a return. He's actually going to be on Legion Podcast as well. So us doing Short Bus has also got Kruger Nation going again. And that's Johnny Krug, and so we've got that show going on, which is a lot of fun. And those are movies, again, that wouldn't make it on Helming, because these are not good movies.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, something like my buddy Theo, the Zisu, he doesn't like the craziness that I like. Right. He watches the more of the Wes Anderson and the things like that. I mean, he's weird and everything, but not like Troma weird or Full Moon weird or the old school 80s stuff that for some reason was in the theater or the drive-in, but now movies like that just go straight to video on demand or whatever. But what else are you affiliated with other than the stuff Rick does?
Other than Hail Ming, I do guest spots on other shows. I don't have another show that I'm currently doing. I've done some guest spots on the Psychosomatic Cast with Darren Wilson and there's an Australian podcaster that's a great friend of ours, the Witch, who has the show The Witch Versus the Doomsday Clock. I've been on his show a couple of times and I have another spot coming up. It's a fun show. There's no way that I could do the work that you do though. I mean, putting together what, 5 shows?
Well, yeah, I think. I know there's one more in there, but...
It's a blur.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, I like doing what I'm doing. A lot you guys don't know, but a lot of you listeners know just what happened to me and everything. I just kind of had a tragic thing in my life, and I needed to do something to get my mind off of it. And started listening to podcasts. I hooked up with a guy, Darian. He lives in Nevada, and I work in Reno, Nevada. So he has a show, the Padded Room Podcast, and they do horror. And then I just was listening to them, reached out to him, saw his setup, got to know how to do it. Then I just, you know what, I can do this. So I just started off this way with my phone, what we're doing right now. Yeah. And then I bought a microphone. Then I got a computer, let me use it. I threw it all together. I'm slowly still learning. I learned a lot of stuff from you last night, some programs that I need to get. And here we are, 100 and some episodes. That's just alone for this show. Not the other shows that I do with, I don't know, it's over, I'd say 300 or something like that. But it's cool. I mean, I like what you guys do. How I was turned on to you guys was last year with Lance, when I met up with him for the very first time from the Horror Returns. And he goes, "You ever listen to these guys?" And we were in the car driving around Houston. He threw them in, and I was like, "Wow, what is this?
What the hell is this?"
I mean, with what you guys do is just hilarious. And then the sound effects that you throw in, that's what I had to ask you. Like how do you do that? So what do you guys got coming?
I've got a new show that's going to be starting off called House of Wax that I'm excited about. That's going to be more of a video, more of a YouTube channel. And it's also going to double as a podcast, and that'll be on Legion as well, iTunes, all that crap. Oh, I have to step back to you. You're talking about influence and stuff. We cannot have this go out on the air and not talk about Duncan McLeish. Because Duncan McLeish from Podcast Under the Stairs, huge help in getting us going, man. He's the guy I reached out to and was like, what do I do? He's the one that really led me down the path of how to put a show together. And, I mean, such a great guy, man. We love when he comes on the show. I love going on his show. I couldn't pass that up. So I have to say something about Duncan. Hey, Duncan! But, yeah, man, House of Wax is coming out. It's me doing horror, the stuff that I love. I'm excited about it. And I think Danny's planning on something. We're still in the works of trying to get him in a direction. Movies in fast forward or whatever.
Dan?
Well, yeah, I'm seeing Rick's project is really, and it's inspiring because it's cool, and it's always good to take your opinions and try and force them on as many people as possible. but yeah, I mean, when I've got time, it's definitely something that's in the works. I don't have it nearly as put together as Rick did, though. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Whatever he does, though, it'll be great because when he gets that thing that he's going to cover, he'll do a great job with it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to see what he comes up with too.
Right on, guys, man. Hey, thank you so much for doing this. I know we're all trying to get out of here.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Let my listeners know where they can find you guys.
Legion Podcast, just Google it. You can find it there. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, all your outlets that play podcast. Yeah, we're out there. Like I said, 62 episodes. We just covered the Conan movies. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Dan, any last words?
I think Rick covered it, but congratulations on your 100th episode.
Thank you. Right on. Hey, guys, man, I'll get back to you. I still got a couple more things to do, but, hey, right on. We'll be back in a minute.
That is it. 100 episodes. Oh, man. Everyone that's been a part of this episode and everyone that's been a part of 100 episodes of the MacNez podcast, didn't think I would even get this far. Figured I'd do a few episodes, get tired of it and quit, but I haven't. I'm still going. I'm going to go until I can't go anymore. So again, everybody, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for being in my life. Everybody that I've met this far, just because I do a podcast and through podcasting on everybody else's show. I also got to give a big thanks to Darian from the Padded Room Podcast, Jason Harrell, my wife Renee, my sons Eric, Kyle and Mark, my daughter Tiga, also been on the show. The guys you heard this episode, Rick, Danny, Steve, Patrick. Shout out to Ming Chen from I Sell Comics and the Mike and Ming Show. I can't believe it. I mean, and everybody else that I forgot. I mean, I can't forget the Z Soup. Big Jesse, Hellbilly, Miss Monica, the other dude. Buddy. Oh, man. Sorry, bud. My mind is just, I can't think anymore. But everyone that's been here, I can't believe it, man. And, also got to give a shout out to my brothers from The Horror Returns. You heard Lance earlier in the beginning. But Brian, Philip, you guys rock as well. Brian's going to be on my next episode. We're going to be talking about an awesome movie that I love and a movie that he just seen for the first time. So, and an awesome interview with someone that was in that movie, which I couldn't believe that I got a hold of. We'll get to that in the next episode. But hey, everybody, again, thank you so much for being along with on this ride with me. From episode one to the mini-sodes that I did, I'm going to bring those mini-sodes back. I don't remember how many I've done, so I'm going to start doing those again. I'm going to really do a lot more with the Magnus podcast, because my time has been tied up with E-Society and other than work and everything else in my life. And I also got to give a big shout out to my grandson, Daniel. He wasn't there in the beginning of this, but he's here now. And I love him so much. And if you guys follow me on Instagram, you see all the pictures I throw up of him. Also, I give a shout out to my brother, Mike. He's been a big part of this show as well. And there's been so many people on this show, on just the MacNish podcast alone. The N-Warrior Brothers, Manasseh and Enoch, you guys rock. You'll be on here again. Don't know when, but yes. That was for East Society. But I'm going to give him a shout anyway. Eugene Brave Rock, awesome. We had an interview with him at Indigenous Comic Con end of last year. That was on East Society. Go on there. I don't remember what episode it was. You'll find it. It's back there, but Eugene was the chief and Wonder Woman. Also got to give a big shout out to him. Awesome, brother. Thank you so much. And I think we'll be here for a whole nother episode if I can think. And, well, if I can even remember everybody that's been a part of this. But I'm going to end it. I got to get out of here because I got episode 100 of the E-Society to do, which will be out tomorrow. I'm finishing this up on, where are we, July something, I don't know, 16th, I believe. No, 15th, July 15th, 2018. Yeah, but everyone, thank you so much. You guys all rock. I love you. Thank you so much. And like I always say, for the past 100th episodes, rock hard and skate fast.